Welcome to the teaching ministry of pastor, teacher, and healing evangelist, Billy Burke. We're glad you're here today as our pastor shares a word specially for our partners. Now, here's Pastor Billy.
Let's go here to the Bible today, Matthew chapter 8. I have a great word for you today. It says, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper, and the leper worshipped him, saying, Lord, if you want to, you can make me clean. The radical move that it took for this leper, because he was coming out of the mountains, means he was probably in a leper colony. You have to understand that not all leprosy was considered, you know, bad or you weren't in public use. The lepers had to appear before the high priest. The high priest would judge what degree the leprosy was. If you were full of leprosy, you were assigned to a colony. If it was just your hand or maybe just your foot, then you still were allowed to be among the people, etc., etc. But in this man right here, he was in a colony. He had to be coming out of the mountains. And they were drilled, stay away from normal people. Stay away from normal people. Look at this first verse. When he was come down, where from? The mountains, from the colony. They were drilled, stay away from anybody that's clean. Here's a man who breaks that rule. He doesn't listen. Why doesn't he listen? What is it about this scene that makes this man violate the civil law of that day? Come out of a colony and I'm coming right down into the radius near Jesus. Kind of like today where we have, you know, this 6 feet distancing or 10 feet distancing and the transmission of disease. Let me tell you something greater than the transmission of disease. It's the transmission of anointing. It's getting within range of people that carry presence. You can get in the shadow of people. You can get in the vicinity of people. There can be frequencies of the Holy Spirit that hit you. I mean, if you're just within range, understand something, that the Holy Spirit, God's healing power is greater and travels better than any virus or disease on the earth. The blessing is always stronger than the curse. And this man here, but what made him comfortable? What made him think that it was okay? It's because he saw Jesus different than he saw anybody else. Did you hear what I said? See, until you see Jesus different, you just can't see him as your brother. There's so much preaching today that makes Jesus just your common friend. Is he your friend? Of course, but he's not just a friend. He's still capital G, capital O, capital D. He's still God. Yeah, that's my big brother. And there's all this language so that we can relate better. Well, just make sure you don't cross that line and you just treat him as any other human being. Because what you will do is strip him of his capabilities of what he can do for you. That the secret here, he worshiped him. Say, when you start making people just your friend, and a lot of times worship goes away. Why? Because he's your friend. And we hang out. Jesus and me, it's just all right. You know, and how do you judge that? Well, are you worshiping him? I mean, are you still in humble bowing to him, singing to him, serving him? Worship is more than singing, it's serving. And that'll show you what you think of him. And that's why this leper was saying, I see you different than I see anybody else. Anybody else, I'd have to probably abide by the civil law of staying away from you. But you're different. I believe in who you are. And here's what he said. I believe if you want to, you can actually heal me and make me clean. I mean, this man was so into who never met him, no sign of him ever knowing him. He was never on the mailing list of Jesus, never got a letter, never got a phone call. Yet he was sold out and fully persuaded that this Jesus was different Is he different to you than anybody? How do you talk to him? How do you approach him? How do you act around him? Do you act like he's God? You know, do you treasure the free access to him? Do you really believe he's watching every step, every move, guarding every thought? I mean, understand something. He is omnipresent. He's omniscient. He is all-powerful. That's the three main characteristics of God. He's everywhere at once. He's all-knowing, and he's all-powerful. And he's right there. He's either in you or he's working around you. He's trying to get in you. Now, I don't know that he was inside this leper, but he certainly got inside this leper's mind, because this leper had to think, I'm going to leave this colony. I'm going to go down. I don't care if I'm allowed to get near people or not. I believe that man can heal me if he wants to. He didn't know much, but he knew enough. You may not know everything today. You may not even know much today. Listen to me. But it's believing the part that you do know. You know, she said, and here's what I've experienced. People, when they come for prayer, it's amazing. They're there to get help. But seemingly what comes up so much of the time, well, here's the reason why I'm the way that I am. Or here's the reason why I probably won't get healed. One lady told me, she came with an oxygen tank. You know, and she said, I have emphysema. She could hear that emphysema. I mean, you could smell it. You could hear it. And she said, I just want you to know, Brother Billy, I'm a smoker. I've been smoking for all these years. And I probably, the good Lord's probably just paying me back. And I said, ma'am, number one, you know, the Lord don't have to pay you back for doing that. The deed itself pays you back. There's a consequence for that. You know, he don't pay you back. You know, it's in the wrong itself has a wage to it. But I said, hey, let's get past that. And she said, well, how are we going to get past it? I did it all those years. She was so focused, just like this man. He was saying, if you want to. He was conscious of something. He was still carrying some kind of guilt. Some kind of, well, I understand why I am the way that I am. And I find that people have all of these reasons. I mean, a litany of reasoning why God wouldn't want to heal them. Yet they're still there trying to get healed. When you tip those scales and you have more reasons why he doesn't want to than he does want to, you know, then it's gonna really be a problem for you to really let your faith turn loose with the full force of righteousness. You know, I mean, you say, yeah, but I might not have enough faith. Well, back to the verse here. He says, what did Jesus say? All you need is a grain of a mustard seed. Yeah, it's great to have more faith. It's great to grow in faith. And that's our goal, is to do that, to have more than we ever had before. But right now, all it takes is a grain. Do you have a grain? All it takes is just, and that mustard seed is the tiniest of all seeds. And yet that's all that's needed for you in the hospital bed today. For you in that wheelchair today, that's just, the pain is unbearable. The swelling is immense in the drainage tubes. You know, and just the embarrassment of being bathed and washed and just seeming like your life is over. Or you could be there because there's no feeling in your legs. You've lost total feeling. You're there just thinking, well, it's going to take a miracle. No, it's going to take you believing first. Then the miracle can happen. But you have to believe that all that it takes, look at this, if you have a grain of a mustard seed, what can you do? You can move mountains. You can change circumstances. Yeah, but you know, I don't know. I just haven't been, I'm just not a good Christian. Or I'm not a good Catholic. I hear that a lot. Well, the Bible don't say that he heals you because you're good. It says he heals you because he's good. If we get healed because we're good, there's a lot of people not going to get healed. We didn't get saved because we were good. We got saved because we needed a Savior. And we get healed because we need a healer. Yeah. You have to allow wherever you've been, whatever you've done, you've got to have a bigger Jesus than you do a bigger, you've got to have a righteousness consciousness, not a sin consciousness, not a mistake consciousness. When you got born again, that blood came in. I mean, it began to hit and make crooked things straight and rough edges smooth and remove spots and dots. And I mean, it's a cleansing and a washing. And I realize it takes time. Some of those things are worse than others. And you may have to really work a little bit more on some areas than other areas. But understand something. Forgiveness releases you. Cleansing washes you. You say, yeah, but I don't know if I'm just not practicing faith. Well, was Lazarus practicing faith? Was Lazarus laying down in a tomb saying, I will live, I will come up, I will be alive again? Lazarus was dead. He wasn't practicing anything. I think you have more faith than Lazarus. You've got to begin to see this moment, this, you know, this Kairos moment, this God opportunity that God is calling for you to believe Him again. You did believe Him, but I'm talking about believing Him again. What do you mean by that? Well, when some people don't get help right away, over a year, over 6 months, I mean, just everybody's different in their expectancy of manifestation. And I'm not saying this, I'm not saying recovery is easy, but recovery is not always easy. Sometimes there's great works of faith that have to be taken to get people into a place of recovery. Zacchaeus had to climb a tree. The one man, they had to rip off his neighbor's roof, remove clay tiles, hoist him up there, lower him down through there. Sometimes there's effort involved. And boy, does God love effort. Boy, God loves effort. That's why He said in Hebrews, what He said that, what, the diligent. He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He's a rewarder. God just wants you to desire something beyond more than what you do. I'm not saying you don't, but I'm saying desire can ebb and flow. It can be peak point, and then it can be low point. And sometimes our ability to desire at a higher level is indicating of how serious we are, how genuine we are about what we say we want. Oh, a lot of people, if they get a healing, they'll take it. If a lot of people, if it comes easily, they take it. Oh, but God help us if they have to, you know, put their faith to work. If they have to memorize some scripture that invades their thinking. If they have to say some prayers. If they have to hang around some people that have stronger faith than they do. If they have to be challenged about an area. These all come into play. When you're dealing about getting healed of cancer and type 2 diabetes and type 1 diabetes and Alzheimer's and dementia. And sometimes, you know, we have to just kind of say, Holy Spirit, just connect me, show me. Yes, He said, if you want to, you can. What's that mean? There was something there making Him think Jesus wouldn't want to. It wasn't just about His will to be healed or His will. No. It was about there was something this man was carrying. Well, the man had been mentally tormented for who knows how long. You're unclean. You're unfit. You're not around. You know, those seeds of destruction had been planted in him. Once you have those contaminated seeds in you of what professionals say and family says and what you tell yourself, those seeds, they take root. They do damage. They create atmosphere. They distance you from help. Because you've reached the conclusion of there's no way, there's no hope. I don't know, my Bible tells me differently. This book is filled with stories where, you know, they were trapped at the Red Sea, but then God made a way. It tells me about a Moabitess Ruth, a great lady who, you know, who ended up broke, a widow, and no family connected. And yet she ended up in the right field behind the right wagon and ended up marrying the right man. Whew. Boom, boom, and boom. I mean, you know, talk about a trifecta. Right field, right wagon, marrying the right man. That can happen to you like that. But you got to get out of this here if you want to. You've got to quit thinking, yeah, but I ate wrong all And I know that I help me get where I am. You know, people have more litigating information about their life than they do mitigating. Litigation means I'm accused. I have eaten wrong. I've been swimming in Whiskey River for years. I haven't talked right. I abused my mind with drugs. I've been a bad man. I've been a prostitute. And so many of those come into our services. One girl in New York City, we had a meeting, and the actual police chased her into the service. She ran into the service. The place was packed. She comes running, crashing through the back doors. This was a prostitute. She came and she fell at the right next to where I was standing. It just shook the whole place. I didn't know if that lady was with the church or if they were doing a play or a drama or something, and she just laying there crying. Then two policemen come in the back door, two New York policemen, had their guns drew. And I said, oh, whoa, boy, the place was, it got kind of unnerved, you could imagine. And they said, we want that girl, we want her. You know, and I said, whoa, not now you can't have her. I mean, I really wasn't that confident. I was like, I didn't know where my boundaries were. She's crying and she's saying, help me, help me, help me. And she's in a church. You know, we all know the fine line there between church and politics and state and all that stuff. I said, look, you guys, can I have her just for, I think I said, can we have her? Can I have her? I don't remember exactly. Can we have her for, just give us another hour with her. Church is almost over. And I said, can we just have her here? And I promise we'll get her to you after the service is over. And boy, they had to draw the gun down on their guns. They put their guns in their holster. People were breathing a sigh of relief. I probably should have had an altar call right there and everybody would have got saved, right? Now that I look back on it. But in the moment, you don't think like that. In the moment, my main concern was, what's going on with this girl? Why did she come here? How did she know this meeting was taking place? And here's what she said. She said, I heard about these meetings. And she said, I just knew that if I could get here, I just knew that if I could get here, I could get help. See, that has to be you too. You can't stay where you are. I mean, you can. What did the four lepers say? Why do we sit here till we die? It's right up here on the screen. I believe that's in 2 Kings, in the book of 2. Why sit here till we die? There has to be movement. Are you moving? Or are you just waiting for a break? This isn't a lottery. This is not a sweepstake. This isn't, you know, a lucky number underneath your plate or your chair. This is the promise. It's a promise that I'll never leave you nor forsake you, that I will come. And I will heal, and I will deliver you speedily. And I'll restore the years, and I'll make you whole. And I'll write a new name on you. Oh, Revelation 3, and a new name will I write on you. You won't be stereotyped ever again. I'll rip off that label that you're known by. And a new name you'll have. And a new reputation you'll have. Only I can do those things, saith the Lord of hosts. He's speaking to many of you today. So the police that they drew down, they went outside, they waited. When that girl got up, she got born again. She got touched. She got cleansed. I mean, some stuff came out of her, you know. And I'll tell you what, it shook the whole church. People were getting saved. People were getting healed. Because, you know, iron sharpens iron. And when that anointing finds a place to move, where he can freely move, where he can get in there and touch your mind and touch your emotions and touch your spirit and challenge you to say, do you really want help? Like Jesus said to the man at Bethesda, do you want to be made well? Boy, this is the hour to really find out. Do you really want what you say you do? It's available, but God's wanting to know, do you? He's not heard from some of you for a while. He's not heard a prayer. He's not heard any intensity. He's wanting to know, do you still believe that he's really there? Remember, the biggest challenge that God wants from his church is to believe that he's there. To believe that beyond invisible, he's there. He's beyond the invisible, he's there. That realm that he's in is more real than this realm. That's the realm of cause. We live in the realm of effect. Everything happens there first, then it happens here. That's why Jesus said, I, as the Father does it, I do it. Father says, heal, I heal. As Jesus saw it in that realm, it happened in this realm. You know what I believe today? He's seeing it in you. He's seeing you getting strong. He's seeing you on your way back to Father's house. He's seeing you saying, I need to make a phone call. I need to send a letter, an email. I need to make some things right. I need to reconcile. I need to have restitution. Dear God, I need to get my life back to God. I got to get this anger out of me. See, because over here, quit looking for a reason if you want to. Quit thinking of all the things that you've done so wrong. I mean, that'll discourage you alone. That'll make you think like there's an impossible track back to where I need to be. If you want to, and look at these words, I want to be thou clean. Jesus said, I'm not in the frame of mind to hear every rhyme and reason of how you got where you are. But let's just say today, I'm going to make you clean. You can listen to that story later, but today, call that number on the screen. Send that, click onto that link. Let one of the prayer personnel here say a prayer for you. Listen to me. This is an amazing moment for every viewer, whatever part of the world you're in. Don't underestimate this now moment. So many times we're in a car and we're playing a worship song and it's just bringing us somewhere, but we arrive at the cleaners. We shut the car off and the anointing's all over the car, but we just shut it off and go to the cleaners. We have a very bad habit of interrupting flow. God wants to have unhindered flow. It's our UHF channel, our unhindered flow. He wants you to get on that channel today. If God's speaking to you right now about accelerating desire, showing more intensity, about letting him remove all of these reasons why, you know, that you're in the state that you're in, and just accepting mercy. Okay, you blew it. There's mercy for you. There's grace for you. You're not the worst person on the planet. I mean, if you read these scriptures and you get into the fabric of these people's lives, oh, they were so far from pontific living, perfect living. They were real people, made real mistakes, some of them horrible mistakes. But out of their despair, they cried. And what I like about these stories is the odds were impossible. Far from the shore, sinking deep in despair. And what's the old song saying? Love rescued me. Love is going to rescue you today, my friend. But he wants you to reach out. Let's pray. God, I pray you touch the people today. Let this anointing explode, implode on the inside of them. Heal disease. Heal cancer. Heal brain cancers and breast cancer, lung cancer. Oh, God, let tubes come out. Let poison be released. Let doctors be amazed in this hour at your handiwork, dear Jesus, of your handiwork, the miracle worker. We thank you, dear Jesus. Oh, we thank you that you rescue us, you restore us. We thank you today. We give you the praise. We do give you the praise. We worship you like the leper worshiped you. We really, really do. Help all of our people become worshipers. In Jesus' name, amen. And remember Mark 10:27. With God, all things are possible. They really are.
For more information about this and other teachings by Pastor Billy, please call 1-888, the number 7, and the word healed. Or in the Tampa area, call 813-287-2116. The mailing address is Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. That's Billy Burke, World Outreach Ministries, P.O. Box 25441, Tampa, Florida 33622. Or you can look us up on the web at www.billyburke.org.